The convergence. Convergence of the power method. In the standard version, the standard version is the definition I write it again. The generic step, the new vector is the previous vector multiplied by A on the left. Assumptions. The first assumption is the presence of a dominant eigenvalue. So we require that there an eigenvalue of lambda sub 1 exists such that x absolute value is strictly greater than all the others. The absolute values of the left eigenvalues, which can also, some of them can also have equal absolute values. The second is that A is diagonally zero. We know that this is equivalent to require that there exists a basis of eigenvectors, a basis of eigenvectors exists. Let us call in some way, let us call in some way these eigenvectors as x sub I. A by x sub I is equal to lambda sub I for E from 1 up to n. Well, there is a third requirement which looks stranger than the requirements, the assumptions 1 and 2. The vector, the initial vector, sub 0, which can be expressed as a linear combination of the n linearly independent eigenvectors, since there is a basis of eigenvectors, I can always express an arbitrary vector as a linear combination of these vectors. Well, the assumption is not this, this is obvious, but that the first coefficient of sub 1 is not 0. So, from this point of view, the initial vector is not completely arbitrary, because we require that this assumption is satisfied. It is also clear that, for this reason, I said that this point looks strange, because I have not the possibility to verify that this requirement is satisfied, since I don't know which are the eigenvectors. But as we will see, this is not a serious problem. Well, if 1, 2, and 3, three assumptions are satisfied, then the sequence, the sequences, there are, can be considered several sequences, defined as the ratios of the same entries, the entries with the same index of two successive iterate vectors. We here we have the entry with index I k plus 1 iterate, and here we have at the denominator the same entry, the same index of the previous vector. So this is a scalar sequence. All these sequences for any choice of I are convergent to what? To lambda sub 1. The limit of all these sequences is the limit for k is the dominant eigenvalue. Well, the reason is somewhat intuitive. If you start from t sub 0, first of all, we cannot yet underline this fact. Y sub k, which is defined as A multiplied by the previous vector, you see immediately that can be written as the power with exponent k of A by the first vector. This is the reason of the name of the procedure, the power method, because it's essential in the the convergence aspect of this method, the presence and the behavior of the generic power of the matrix. So we can also write the generic vector of the sequence as the power of A by the vector, the initial vector, written as a linear combination of the eigenvectors. The sum alpha index I is from 1 to n. But these are eigenvectors, so I put inside. What happens if I multiply a generic power of the matrix A by an eigenvector of A itself? We know that the eigenvectors of the power are the same power of the eigenvectors of A. So here I have the corresponding eigenvalue raised to the same power by the same corresponding eigenvector. So So the eigenvalues are effectively present in this expression. Eigenvalues
are vectors. If we give a careful look to this expression, we have a sum of many terms. The vectors x is sum, I are fixed. They do not depend on I. They do not depend on k. When k grows in this sum, the most relevant contribute is given by the power of the largest in modulus, in absolute value, among the invariant. Here, the most important term in order of magnitude is the term corresponding to the largest, the dominant. We have called it dominant eigenvalue. So if k is sufficiently large, substantially this quantity behaves as the only term alpha sub 1, lambda sub 1, k, x sub 1. This is the reason why the generic vector of the sequence, after a certain number of iterations, lies in the direction of the dominant of the eigenvector of the dominant relative to the dominant eigenvector. This is a qualitative analysis. If we want to write correct things in a rigorous way, we can proceed according to these developments. We have here, we distinguish, we put aside the dominant term this is the dominant term, and we have the other terms, so the same sum goes from 2, starts from 2. Okay, then we put as a factor the power with exponent k of lambda sub 1 term, first term, and the sum of the leading terms, where for the presence of this factor we decide the sum divide all the eigenvalues, or the leading eigenvalues, by lambda 1 to the key. Well, we have brought as a factor lambda 1 to the key, so we have divided all the terms in the sum by lambda sub 1 to the key. Now, if we divide, remember that all these, this is a way in which we have written the vector, the generic vector y sub k. We divide both members, both sides, by lambda 1 to the k, and consider if it
if it exists, the limit of this sequence. This is a sequence of vectors. The vectors y, each divided by the same the power with the same the exponent equal to the index of lambda sub 1. The limit, this quantity converges, has it a limit? The answer is yes, because this quantity converges to the zero vector, because this number, all these numbers converge to zero. Why? Because all these ratios in absolute value are strictly less than one. We have the eigenvalues with index from 2 up to n divided by the dominant eigenvalues. So these ratios are complex numbers, well, but they are absolute values, are all strictly less than 1. This bound must be strict. But we know that the dominant value has an absolute value strictly larger than the absolute values of the living eigenvector. So these terms, that sum, I mean, is infinitesimal. And the limit is simply given by this vector. The first eigenvector relative to the dominant eigenvalue multiplied by alpha sub 1. Observe that alpha sub 1 is different from 0 due to the third requirements in the assumption. Well, but this seems not very useful because I am not able to compute this this quantity. I know I have computed y sub k, I don't know lambda sub 1. This is not a problem because I can consider just the ratios of the form y at the step k plus 1 and 3 with index y divided by as is the thesis of the convergence theorem. This quantity, I use this fact, and I can divide, the better thing to do is to divide the numerator and the denominator by the right power of lambda sub 1. Divided numerator and denominator by the same quantity. This for k tending to infinite has as limit alpha sub 1 by
here I am considering the entry with index I. One as superscript and I as subscript. Looking at the denominator, I can. Here is an exponent, sorry. I can write here the power k and put the other lambda. Here is lambda sub 1, sorry. Also here. This is convergent to the same quantity. But I have to multiply all by lambda plus 1. Are all the indices correct? Okay. Alpha sub 1 is not 0, so we are sure that we are not in the case of 0 above 0. We simplify it at 1. And the limit is, I write here, it again is what we wanted to show. Is exactly the dominant eigenvalue. Well, this is the main convergence result. Now it is important to remark some essential aspects, some of them negative of the method. Some of these aspects oblige us to modify the method in order to avoid the disadvantages caused by these aspects. The first aspect is a computational aspect. Is the simple relation that the vector produced by the power iteration often, say always, causes overflow problems. Why? We know that the vector y sub k is essentially a raised to the k power exponent k multiplied by zero. So after a few iterations, generally I have to expect an overflow or also underflow behavior of a sequence of this kind. This is not a serious problem because I can normalize the sequence following this scheme. After computing each generic vector by multiplying the previous vector by A on the left, I normalize with using some norm, some vector norm, the result, and I go on. So I start again from an arbitrary vector t by zero in respect of all the assumptions, in particular the third assumption, the third quantity. This is the normalized version following the notation used here, I have starting vector t sub 0 the first iteration. The vector obtained after the first iteration will be called u by 1, and the successive vector t by 1 is computed by normalizing this vector, dividing it by a constant beta sub 1 such that the norm, some norm that I can choose of the new vector makes 1. In general, I have the previous vector t. Previous vector t sub k minus 1, I multiply it by a, obtaining so an intermediate vector u sub k. The next t sub k will be 1 over the normalization constant beta by k sub k by the vector u. This is the normalized version. The same convergence results hold. I can also specify better the link between the standard sequence generated by t sub 0 and the normalized sequence in this way. Let us see how the new t are related to the old t. The old y, we have called them y. I had y0 and t0, which are equal, so I have here a by and in the normalized version, I have t1 is sub 1 is 1 over, which is u sub 1 is a by t0. Let us perform at least another step to see what is happening. Y sub 2 is, as we know, square of a by t. And here we have 1 over the second constant multiplied by u sub 2, which is equal to okay. So we can easily see that this is epsilon y sub 2. So we could prove easily by induction that the relation between the new and the old sequences
relation is, you see it written here, T sub k is equal to the product, let us write in increasing order, and this is y sub k is the old sequence, and this is the new normalized. This allows us to extend immediately the convergence result that we have proven before. We know that we have shown that y over we had this the result, the convergence essential, the main convergence result was here. These sequences for k tending to infinite, these sequences converge to the dominant eigenvalue. I can substitute using this quality the product of the normalization constants is called here gamma sub k for simplicity. So we have that y sub k is gamma sub k by t sub k. So here I can write gamma sub k plus 1 multiplied by t superscript is k plus 1, the index of the component is y, and the same way at the denominator I have gamma sub k, t with k as superscript, they are the same quantity. I can simplify this gamma with this gamma because gamma sub k plus 1 over gamma sub k is simply beta sub k plus 1. So I can write also the same quantity as beta sub k plus 1 but this product is u suffer k plus 1 and take the index I. So this is the simplest way to mention the convergent sequences, in the normalized case. All these sequences for n I converge to lambda sub 1. So we have written again the convergence result from the normalized sequence. Some other remarks. Suppose, let us assume this is the simple choice for the beta, the normalizing constant. Let us assume that if the vector u at the step k has as infinite norm the absolute value, the index k is here. Let us assume that we decide to use the infinite norm, that the maximum of the absolute values of the entries of u is assumed by the component, the entry with index n. We choose the corresponding beta, beta sub k, as exactly this value. So, when we normalize and define t sub k as the vector u divided by the constant, if we consider exactly the entry with the index m, we obtain 1. Exactly. If you have that u sub 2 is minus 10, 1. The norm, the infinite norm is 10. The infinite norm is not of maximum. The component, the index of the component entry of u which assumes this value is 1. So we choose as b sub 2 u 2 1. That is minus 10. When we normalize, we obtain t sub 2 as this vector divided by minus 10. So we will have 1 and minus 1 over 10. So we see immediately that with these choices, at every step, we obtain a vector t with maximum value in the entries equal to 1 in position say n. So why I'm reasoning in this way? Because if we consider this sequence that could be considered for any I, any value of I consider it for the value m, this this number will be 1. I write it again for clarity. I will have for the index equal to m, where m is the index corresponding to the maximum absolute value of the entries of u. You have u. Now, we have seen that in the normalized vector, the corresponding value is 1. And in the vector u, this value is exactly the constant of normalization, beta sub k plus 1. So with this particular choice, this is a lucky choice in some sense, because we see that the sequence of normalization constants converges to the dominant eigenvector. we could write that in the normalized version with infinity norm, we have that the sequence of the normalization constants form a sequence converging to lambda sub 1. A few words regarding lights and shadow of this method. A short list. The rate of convergence. How fast? When it converges, this sequence, this is in particular, how fast does it converge? The convergence is related to the convergence to zero of the ratios speed of convergence depends on which is the slowest of all these sequences from A, from 2 up to N of that sequences converging to zero. The slowest is the sequence corresponding to the value 2 for the to the second in order of absolute values, the second eigenvalue. So if let me write this here, if the absolute value of lambda sub 2 over lambda sub 1 is near 1, the convergence is slow. If alpha sub 1 is 0, what happens? I have already observed that I am not able to check this requirement. Well, due to the presence of rounding errors, the computed sequence, which is affected by rounding errors, is the same that we would obtain by starting from an initial vector t sub 0 corresponding to a small alpha sub 1 different from 0. In a few words, the presence, the unavoidable presence of rounding errors, the presence of rounding errors simulates an initial t sub 0 tilde corresponding to an alpha sub 1 tilde small but different from 0. So even if I start from an initial vector which does not satisfy the third requirement, after many, very many iterations, convergence occurs. In any case, a very slow convergence, but it is clear that it makes no sense to use the method in such conditions. But in effect, I have almost always convergence, even if some of the assumptions is not satisfied. Another assumption that can be not satisfied, I have anyway a kind of convergence, is the possibility that the dominant eigenvalue has multiplicity larger than one. If I have the dominant eigenvalue lambda sub 1 with multiplicity R, and obviously that the first positions in the spectrum have all absolute values equal, and from this point on I have a strictly strict inequality, and so on. Also in this case, there is convergence anyway, and the proof is substantially the same. I have only to group the first R eigenvectors together. I mean, instead of considering only alpha sub 1 by x sub 1, I have to consider the first R terms. I put as the factor in the same way as before, lambda sub 1 to the power k, and then follows the sum of the leading terms, which correspond, leading terms, to the contribute of the losing eigenvectors, I could say. Well, we stop here. Next time, Thursday, we conclude with other interesting remarks regarding this method and various ways in which it can be applied. Okay. Quindi ci aggiorniamo.